Showboat in just a moment. First, though, Steve Hewlett is here with a word about Pick of the Week.
Little Green Men from Mars, Mac the Knife. Do you know where that song actually comes from? The Chilean miners. What was it really like down there? Brighton's nudist beach. David Attenborough's pulley system for inspecting the rainforest canopy. Johnny Morris, not just funny animal voices. Face to Face with John Freeman. Bertolt Brecht, Valentine's Day, and Camilla Takes the Biscuit. That's Pick of the Week with me, Steve Hewlett, this evening at 6:15.
Incidentally, if you enjoyed the completists before the news, you might be interested in our short story later on this evening. Photographer Rubin Cantarini becomes obsessed with the work of a brilliant musician called Scott Hardy, whose music only exists on the internet. That is, until Rubin secretly tapes a private session. When Hardy's death is announced, his cult following grows. And although Rubin never divulges the existence of the bootleg recording, he eventually gets an email from another music collector, and it starts to unravel the mystery of his hero's death. Scott Hardy's Queensway Sessions is our short story this evening at 7:45. But now on Radio 4, we begin a new classic serial, Showboat. Theatre, for many Americans in the 19th and early 20th centuries, arrived by water in the form of showboats, big floating barges pushed by steamers up and down inland rivers and lakes. Well, this world was introduced to the novelist and playwright Enda Ferber by an eminent theatre producer of the day. She joined the James Adams Floating Theatre in North Carolina and spent 4 days aboard working and performing with the theatre company. All this was research for what would become one of her most popular novels, Showboat. Most remember Showboat as the Jerome Kern and Oscar Hammerstein musical, which was produced on stage and film. But in this production, imagine it doesn't exist. And the classic songs from that show, Old Man River and Can't Help Loving That Man, have not yet been written. We go back now to Enda Ferber's original version.
The river, the river, the river, the river, the river, the river, the river.
Ladies and gentlemen, Showboat by Edna Ferber, dramatized by Moya O'Shea. Part one.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Oh, you have been a wonderful audience. Thank you. It's chilly out there, so rug up on your way home.
Congratulations, Miss Radnall.
Another great performance, Miss Radnall.
You were brilliant tonight, Miss Radnall.
Oh, thank you, everyone.
Kim, what can I say? You were exquisite. You make the Booth Theater proud.
Yeah, and a lot of money.
Well, that too.
Oh, but thank you, Kruger. Is he here?
Waiting in your dressing room. Now, I know you must be tired, but I promised. You know yourself in the long run, publicity's a fine thing.
I would have thought the New Yorker had said everything there was to say about me by now.
Miss Ravenel, may I have another autograph from my cousin Jeannie?
She's not selling them, is she?
I think she is. Your peach, Miss.
Oh, anytime, Larry.
Here, Kim.
Ah, Mr. Mawson.
Miss Ravenel, I caught the last act. Stunning as always.
Only the last act?
I have seen it 4 times before. The whole thing.
Kim, dear, I'll leave you to it.
All right, Kruger. See you tomorrow. So, Mr. Mawson, what can I tell you that I haven't already told you before? I was educated in Chicago by the dear sisters in St. Agatha's Convent.
Oh, now, Pete's sake, Miss Ravenel, quit kidding.
But I was. Ask anyone. Educated.
Oh, I know it. So does everyone else who reads the papers. And how you got a bit part in Broadway and walked away with a play, became a star, married successful theater producer Kenneth Cameron, etc. Now be reasonable. Kaufman wants a bright piece about you for the Sunday page.
You'll excuse me while I remove my makeup.
Go ahead.
All right. You ask intelligent questions, and I'll answer them.
What about your family? Your mother was a famous singer.
I think she still is.
Got me there. But started out as an actress, didn't she, when she was very young? Want to tell me about it? You could make Kaufman a happy man, and me even happier. Your mother was a singer, and
say,
she...
Say, who are you interviewing? Me or my mama?
Well...
It's okay, Mr. Mawson. I hope you got plenty of pencils.
Pockets full.
Let me tell you, no little girl had a more fantastic childhood than my mother, Magnolia Hawks. By the time she was 8, she'd fallen into and been fished out of every river from the Gulf of Mexico to Minnesota.
I don't get it.
Ever heard of the Cotton Blossom Floating Palace Theater?
No, ma'am, I haven't.
Stopped by my mother's town regularly.
That was...
Thebes.
Ohio?
Illinois. On the Mississippi? Other children of the town swarmed over the vessel by day, enchanted by its mystery, enthralled by its red-coated musicians when the band marched up Main Street, might even at night witness the performance of a play and the concert afterwards, 15 cents extra. But Mother wasn't allowed anywhere near it.
Why not?
Oh, do you remember sweet Betsy from Pike, who crossed the wide prairie with her lover Reich, with two yoke of oxen...
Magnolia, what are you doing out there? I hope you're not swinging on the front gate, are you?
No, Mama.
Oh, well, see you don't do it again.
Yes, Mama. Oh, do you remember sweet Betsy from Pike, who crossed the wide prairie with her lover?
I swear, Ellie, it just came to me during the performance right there on stage.
Hello.
Kind of spur of the moment thing, you know?
Hello.
Julie, who are you talking to?
The little girl.
Won't you say hello to me?
Cat's got her tongue.
Well, if you're not going to say hello, how about a smile?
What a smile. Look at that child. All of a sudden, she's beautiful.
You crazy, Julie. Too scrawny.
Listen, little girl. When you grow up, don't smile too often. But smile when you want anything very much. Or like anyone, or want them to like you. But I guess maybe you'll learn that without my telling you. Won't you say hello to me?
I'm not allowed.
Not allowed? Why not? Pity's sake.
Because you're showboat folks. My mama won't let me talk to showboat folks.
Damn little brat.
She says...
Magnolia Hawks, come into the house this minute.
I
guess you gotta go.
I... Yes, Mama.
My grandfather, Andy Hawks, was a riverboat captain. Owned his own vessel taking passengers and freight. Knew every plank in every river landing from St. Paul to Baton Rouge. Parthenia Hawks, my grandmother.
Parthenia?
Parthenia Ann had been a Massachusetts schoolteacher.
I don't doubt it with a name like that.
Keeping house for her hen-pecked fisherman father when Andy drifted by one summer. He ate her light flaky biscuit, her golden brown fries, her ruddy gel, her succulent pickles, her juicy pies.
I'm seeing the attraction.
They were married and went to live in Thebes on the Mississippi.
Eat your potato, Magnolia, or not a bite of cupcake do you get.
Yes, Mama.
I hear old Ollie Pegram sold the cotton blossom.
The cotton blossom? I'd love
to... Well, what of it?
Made a fortune in the showboat business Ollie has. Ain't a town on the river doesn't wait for the cotton blossom. Anybody who bought that outfit is walking into money.
Scallywags.
Scallywags, nothing. Some of the finest men on the river in the showboat business.
A lot of loose-living, worthless scallywags, men and women. Scum, that's what. Trollops.
What's a trollop?
Magnolia, do not cut away all the fat like that. No wonder you're so skinny. I'm ashamed of you.
Yes, Mama.
No more scum than your own husband, Mrs. Hawks, ma'am. I used to be with a showboat troop myself.
Pilot, yes, before you were a captain.
Pilot be damned. Actor, Mrs. Hawks. And pretty good I was, too, time I was 17 or 18. You ought to have seen me in the afterpiece. Red Hot Coffee, it was called. I played the Negro. Doubled in a band, too.
Were you really an actor? Mama, did you know Papa was an actor on a showboat?
Not another word, Captain Hawks. I'd have never married you if I'd have known. Showboat actor.
Oh, yes, you would, Parthy, and glad of the chance.
Let this be the last of showboat talk in this house. I do not want to be dirtied by it, nor Magnolia.
I don't mind.
It's far from being the last of it, Parthy, because the fellow that bought the cotton blossom from Pegram was me.
Many quarrels mark my grandparents' married life, but this one assumed serious proportions.
I can imagine.
The Puritan in Parthenia ran rampant. Andy would disgrace her before the community, but he hung on for dear life, and in the end, he won. Under her new owner, the Cotton Blossom was overhauled from keel to pilot house. Painters and carpenters making her shipshape. There were numerous supplies to be ordered, a troop to be assembled. Parthenia began to evidence interest in these negotiations.
How many in the theater troupe, Hawks? Deckhands? What routes you fixing to follow?
Tell you what, get your hat on and come down and take a look at her.
Never.
Then let Magnolia go down and see her. She likes boats, don't you, Magnolia? Same as her pa. Want to come and see where your papa's going to live all the months and months he'll be away from you and ma?
Yes, papa, yes.
I guess you'll forget how your papa looks by the time he gets back.
No, no, papa, don't go. Don't leave me, please.
I'll be away April till November. Maybe if you and Magnolia live with me on the Cotton Blossom some of that time. Summers, easy life, lots to see. We're in the country.
Never.
Mama!
Half an hour later, Parthy was walking down the street with Andy and Magnolia, resigned to the fact that she was now the wife of a showman.
There she is. Ain't she pretty? Look, Magnolia, that's where you're going to live.
We are not going to live on
Look, that. Mama, look what's written on the side. Captain Andy Hawks,
Cotton Blossom, Floating Palace Theater. Oh.
Know anything about showboats, Mr. Mawson?
Not a blessed thing.
A showboat isn't a boat at all, but a big wooden floating barge. It has no engine, no paddle wheel, anything like that. Otherwise, there wouldn't be room for the theater. And so it is. It is pushed or it is pulled down the river or up by a little tug. In the case of the Cotton Blossom, the tug's name was Molly Able.
M-O-L-L-I-E-A-B-L-E. Molly Able, got it.
Up the gangplank you go, Magnolia.
Magnolia, don't run.
Give me a hand, Parthy.
Oh, I am quite capable of boarding on my own.
After you.
Hey there, Cap Mandy. Who's this you got with you?
This here's my wife, Parthenia, and my daughter, Magnolia. Parthy, this here's Schultzy, one of the players.
How do, Mrs. Hall?
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Schultzy. Are you an actor?
That I am, little missy.
My pa was an actor.
Come on, Parthy, Magnolia. Let me show you around.
Oh, goody.
See here, Parthy? This here's the box office, right where people come aboard. No one gets by without paying. This way. Looky here. A lobby just like a real theater. Stairs there to the balconies and upper boxes. A Negro's mostly upstairs, of course. Can you guess what's beyond them double doors, Magnolia?
The
auditorium.
More. Merry England, Kentucky, Uncle Tom's Cabin, Italy, the circus, anywhere you want it to be.
Really, Pa?
Really. Push them open.
They're heavy.
Oh, here, child, I'll help.
Oh.
It's bigger than I thought. How many does it seat?
On the bills, it says 1,000. 1,000 seats. A luxurious floating theater within an unrivaled floating palace.
But really?
600.
Mm-hmm.
See the stage, Magnolia? Come look. Nice seats, huh? All red and plush. Rows and rows. And the balconies and brass railings. And real smart, huh? Look here. The orchestra pit where the band plays.
On the posters, it says the Cotton Blossom Floating Palace Theater 10-piece band. How many, really?
6.
Good. Saves money. 6 is plenty.
What's that big picture?
That's the scenery. A scene of Venice. The lagoon, palace steps, for the play tonight. The actors stand in front of it, and you'd swear to heaven you're in Italy on the Grand Canal. What is it, daughter?
But I thought the auditorium would be all light and glittery, like a fairy tale.
At night. At night, that's when it's like a fairy tale. When the lamps are lighted and all the people start coming in and the band plays and...
Where is the kitchen?
Down here. Down the ladder.
No, in the orchestra pit?
Give me a hand. I'll help you down.
Oh, I can jump down, Pa. Look, Mama, there's a little door. Is it through there?
Open it and see. Dining room and cook's galley right under the stage. Watch the beans, it's a bit low in places. This is our little table right here. The big ones is for the cast and crew.
The kitchen, Hawks.
Just follow me. This here's Queenie, this here's Joe. She cooks and he waits and washes up and one thing and another.
Hey there, Captain.
Good afternoon, Captain Mandy.
Been here 10 years and more. And
that stove, it's more than I could have imagined.
Thought you'd like it. Imagine, Porthy, whole hams sizzling, fowls trussed in rows, platoons of brown loaves fresh baked, vast plateaus of pies, and in the pantry...
Oh, what in the... Oh, scat!
Mouser, Miss Hawks.
All this cooking for a crowd. Take a mint of money.
Make a mint.
Where's the child? Where's Magna... Oh, my goodness, Hawks. Hawks, she's fallen in the river. Magnolia!
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 Quick, upstairs!
Magnolia!
Do you really think so?
I do. My daughter is very naughty. Surely not, Your Majesty. She seems such a sickly child.
Look at that. She's pretending she's in a play.
So I see.
Ice cream for breakfast, dinner, lunch, and day...
Magnolia, Hawks, you come down off that stage this very instant. Do you see, Hawks? That's what it comes to. Minute she sets foot on this sink of iniquity. Play acting.
Yes, Mama.
Andy, show Parthenia and my mother the rest of the cotton blossom. The neat little dressing rooms that doubled as the players' bedrooms.
Dressing rooms during the performance, bedrooms the rest of the time.
Expect me to live in a cubbyhole like that.
Expect me to live in a cubbyhole like that. It sounds like your grandmother was actually thinking of taking your grandfather up on his offer.
Her first admission. But Andy had a trick up his sleeve, and he took them up the aisle to the stairway that led to the balcony, and along it to two large roomy bedrooms, connected by a little washroom.
Oh, dust everywhere in this room. A sight of cleaning this boat will take, I can tell you.
And a door here, Parthy, in the window. Ain't this grand? A fine porch to sit out on warm evenings and the whole river before you.
Oh, Pa, it's wonderful.
Parthy?
It's all right.
All right? One day the great Mississippi, another the Ohio.
Captain Hawks! Captain Andy Hawks!
Yoo-hoo up there! Captain Hawks!
So the fabulous kitchen with its broad-bosomed ample stove hadn't decided Parthy, and the bedrooms, as large actually as the ones in her own cottage, hadn't... quite decided her.
Hello, Captain. Are you happy to see us?
Happy ain't the word, lady.
Why, bless me. Look, Ellie, it's the little girl.
What little girl?
The little girl with the smile.
Hello. I know you.
And I know you.
Magnolia Hawks.
Oh, my God, it's that woman.
Meet my wife, Mrs. Hawks.
Hawks, who are those women down on the deck?
Julie Dozier, one of the finest actresses on the river. And that little blonde beauty is Ellie Chitley, our ingenue lead and a favorite on the bills from Duluth to New Orleans. Two of the company.
Fixing to take a little ride with us for good luck, I hope, Mrs. Hawks.
Julie?
Our first trip out with Cap here?
Yes, I am.
And with those three monosyllables, Parthenia Ann Hawks renounced the ties of land, of conventionality, yielded grimly to the urge of the river, and became at last its unwilling mistress.
Hallelujah.
When April came and the dogwood flashed its spectral white in the woods, the showboat started its journey, the Molly Able pushing them maternally along like a fat, puffing duck with a silly little gosling. Windy the pilot giving careful commands to Pete below in the engine room. Mother loved the life. She swam muddy streams.
Look at me, Pa! I can swim on my back!
So you can, Magnolia! Clever girl!
She stayed up till midnight, read the lurid yellowback novels found in the cabins of the women of the company.
Mama, What's a fallen woman?
Oh, give me that book.
But I haven't finished reading it.
I think you have. Caught plump catfish, drank water out of the river itself, and learn to strut and shuffle and buck and wing.
Like this, Mr. Smith?
No, missy. Watch again.
For from those whose black faces dotted the boards of the southern wharfs as thickly as grace notes sprinkle a bar of lively music. In her old capacity as schoolteacher, Parthy undertook the task of carrying on Magnolia's education.
9 times 7. I said 9.
56.
No, it isn't. Just because 56 was the right answer last time, it isn't every time.
I don't care what it is. Ellie doesn't know either. I asked her and she said she never had 9 of anything in her life. And Ellie's the most beautiful person in the world. Except Julie sometimes, and me when I smile.
As for geography, Magnolia lived it and came to know the country by traveling up and down its waterways. Learned folkways, river lore, Negro songs, bird calls, pilot rules, profanity.
What in God?
No, don't you even think about finishing that sentence, my girl.
Yes, Mama.
Learned the art of stage makeup and all the parts in the Cotton Blossom Troupe's repertoire, including East Lynn.
I've come here for the position of a governess, ma'am.
Tempest and Sunshine.
My sister Fanny is sweet but guileless, making an easy adversary.
And Uncle Tom's Cabin.
It's just no use trying to keep Miss Eve here. She's got the Lord's mark on her forehead.
No little girl had a more fantastic childhood than my mother, Magnolia Hawks.
Coming down to the banks of the Ohio to greet the Cotton Blossom Floating Palace Theater.
Look, Mama, how many people there are.
Magnolia, don't lean over the railing like that. I do not want you toppling over and killing someone down on the deck.
Yes, Mama.
It's a full year since we played Paducah, and we're mighty happy to be back, aren't we?
Yes, we are, Captain.
We certainly are.
Here before you, ladies and gentlemen, you see the most magnificent company of players ever assembled on the rivers. How about a big Paducah welcome for our beautiful ingenue, Miss Ellie Chipley? Yeah.
Oh,
please.
How about marrying me, Miss Chipley?
Mama, Ellie's already married to Schultzy.
Well, that fool doesn't know that.
And now, a special treat for the ladies. Meet the most handsome juvenile lead south of the Mason-Dixon line, Mr. Harold Westbrook. Yeah.
Schultzy to his friends.
Or Schultzy to his friends.
Yes, they call me Schultzy.
Yeah. Next, step forward and take a bow, Miss Julie Dozier.
Julie Dozier, the best actress in the company. Hooray, Julie!
Oh, hey, honey. Didn't see you up there.
Magnolia, behave. Something funny about that woman.
What, Mama?
Something funny about her eyes.
It's marvelous to be back in the greatest little town in Kentucky.
Yeah! Yeah! Miss Julie Dozier. Everyone, Miss Julia Dozier. Ain't she a beauty?
Yeah!
Thanks, Pete.
Julie Dozier!
Hey,
yeah!
Knock it off, Pete!
I don't mean nothing bad.
Steve, don't.
That crazy fool Pete's asking for trouble.
Why, Mama? Julie's married to Steve.
Exactly.
Julie is one half of our brilliant character team, along with Steve Baker. Say hello to Steve, everyone.
Hello, Steve!
Hello, everybody! Yeah, I look forward to seeing you all in tonight's performance.
Steve has a mighty fine line in Dastardly Villains. But that's not all. We have 2 very clever people here who can play anything from widows, bankers, dowagers, queens, kings, lords, and ladies. Here they are, Mr. and Mrs. Means, Sophie and Ralph.
Hey! Thank you.
Yeah, it's great to be back in Old Paducah.
Yeah, you always make us so welcome.
Hey! Yes, sir, the Cotton Blossom Troupe is just one big happy family. Now, don't forget, folks, the show starts sharp at 7 o'clock with a concert afterwards. Singing and dancing. Everyone welcome, Negroes and children included.
So, what did they do? Play a night in each town?
It depended on the size of the town. Sometimes a night, sometimes a week. Of course, there's plenty to do before the show, rehearsals and such. Dinner was at 4, and by 6 o'clock, a stir, a little electric unrest. Years of trooping failed to still in them the quickened pulse that always came with the approach of the evening's performance. In the auditorium, the lamps were lit.
Gas?
Kerosene. And outside, a kerosene searchlight rigged on top of Molly Abel's pilot house threw its broad beam up the riverbank to the levee, lighting the way for the crowds.
Box office is now open. Stalls or balcony?
Which is cheaper?
Balcony. 25 cents a piece for you and your missus and 15 cents each for the boy and girl. Concert's an extra 15 cents a piece for adults.
I reckon we'll have 4 on the balcony, thanks, mister. Ain't gonna be able to stay for the concert.
That'll be 80 cents.
80 cents.
Enjoy the show. Next.
I'll be wanting 2 tickets, sir, please, for me and my lady.
Negro seats, 20 cents each.
I'm wanting the concert as well.
A wise choice, my friend. It's a great show. 70 cents, please. And your tickets.
Excuse me, sir. Which way is the Negro seat?
Through those doors and up the stairs as far as you can go. Enjoy your evening.
Sure will, sir. Thank you kindly.
Of all the times in the day, this was the one my mother most loved. But it was then she was banished to bed.
But let me just stay up for the first act where Ellie shoots the bad man.
Not a minute.
Let me stay up till the curtain goes
up. You march yourself off to bed, young lady, right now.
In time, Parthenia realized the futility of trying to bring up a showboat child according to Massachusetts small-town standards.
Pete, give me a hand with the gangplank, if you will. That's everyone ashore.
Yes, Captain Hawks. Big crowd tonight.
Yes, Pete, big crowd. All going home happy. Lifter. Little left. Hold on. Easy.
Evening, Miss Julie. Catching some fresh air.
Hello, Pete.
Good show tonight, Miss Julie. I was watching you. You was really something when you were up there.
Julie! Supper's waiting. You go on now.
Yes, Steve.
Listen, Pete. You stay away from my wife here.
Now, Steve, Pete was only...
Just being friendly. Friendly.
Too friendly. You stay away, you engine rat.
The gangplank, Pete. Secure it.
Yes, Cap.
By 11, the torches had been gathered in and the showboat's lights dimmed. Troopers that they were, no member of the Cotton Blossom Company could go meekly off to sleep once the workday was over.
Well, they were sitting on their hands tonight, all right.
You said it, Julie.
Well, I got a big laugh on that new business with the pillow. Did you notice?
More soup, Mr. Steve.
Yeah, don't mind if I do. Thanks, Joe. Hey, hey, Queenie, your soup is excellent. I'm having another bowl.
Good hair, Mr. Steve. I like a man who likes my cooking. Yes,
notice, yeah. Steve, the next time you introduce any new business, you have the right to leave me know beforehand. I went right up. If Schultze hadn't thrown me my line, where'd I been?
Here, Ralph, take your medicine.
Chest still troubling you?
Not so much, but you know how Sophie likes to fuss.
Never missed a show yet in all the years we've been married.
Oh. Hey, Captain.
Oh, hello, Captain. Hello, Captain.
Evening, everyone. Good show tonight. First class.
Now, Ralph, I swear, I never thought of it till that minute, so help me. I just noticed the pillow on the sofa that minute. It came to me it'd be a good piece of business to grab it up like it was a baby in my arms. I didn't expect any such laugh as I got in.
God, there was a million babies tonight. Cap, I guess you must have threw something extra into your spiel about coming big the children. They took you seriously. Right. I'd have just soon played for an orphan asylum and be done with it.
Hey! How about a song before bedtime?
Play something, Schultz.
Yeah!
As I was going down the road with a tired team and a heavy load, I cracked my whip and the leader sprung. I says, day, day, to the wagon tongue. Turkey in the straw, turkey in the hay. Turkey in the straw, turkey in the hay. Roll them up and twist them up. Roll them up and twist them up, a high tuck a haul.
Sounds like the company got on pretty well.
Considering they not only worked together, they lived together. Some of them didn't leave the Cotton Blossom for days, but my mother and Julie...
The one who told her to smile?
Uh-huh. Liked to go walking together. Julie was my mother Magnolia's favorite, apart from Captain Andy, of course.
Julie!
Yes, Steve?
Where are you going?
For a walk. To look for hickory nuts and hazels.
Who with?
Coming, Julie! Here I am.
Oh, now keep your hat pulled down over your eyes so you don't get all sunburned, Magnolia. Black enough as it is.
Yes, Mama. Oh,
and don't run and get all overheated. And don't eat anything you find in the woods.
It's all right, Steve. Just with the little girl.
Oh. Well, that's all right, then. You look after Julie for me, please, Magnolia.
And she will look after me. Hold my hand, Julie.
You bet. Home by four, I promise, darling.
Well, make sure you bring me back some of them nuts.
We will.
And Magnolia, see you're back by four.
Yes, Mama.
Oh, and watch out for poison ivy.
What makes you look like that when you look at Steve? All shiny.
Love, honey.
I don't understand.
Well, someday you will.
Pete loves you, too.
Who told you that?
He gives you presents.
Pete's a fool. When he does, I give them to Queenie. Come on, Magnolia. The hickory trees are waiting for us. Oh, do you remember sweet Betsy from Pike, who crossed the wide prairie with her lover Ike, with two yoke of oxen, a big yellow dog, a tall Shanghai rooster, and one spotted hawk. That's it, honey. We're out of sight.
Can't see the cotton blossom.
Hats off, then. Oh, I've got some pins. Here, hitch up your skirt.
All right, it's hitched.
Mine too. Now we can run. Race ya. One, two, three.
Hey, no fair. Wait for me.
You'll never catch me.
Oh, yes, I will.
And every time they got back to the showboat, it was always the same.
Julie, it's after six.
Oh. Magnolia Hawks, what time do you call this? People arriving for the show already. And just look at your petticoats, all bramble torn and stained.
See all the hickory nuts we got, Mama? Sacks and sacks.
Steve, I'm sorry.
I was worried.
Magnolia, that is the last time I let you go out.
Hey, did someone mention hickory nuts?
I did, Pa. We got sacks and sacks of them.
And here's me thinking how I had a fancy for some hickory nuts. You go take them along to Queenie now, Magnolia.
Yes, Pa.
Andy Hawks, how is she ever going to learn?
This way, folks! Hawks' office is now open!
Poor Parthenia didn't stand a chance. Between father and daughter, there was such a bond of love and understanding as to make their relation a perfect thing.
Yes, poor Parthenia. I almost feel sorry for her.
Oh, but not quite.
Not quite.
Magnolia liked to loiter in the big, low-rafted kitchen, which was a place of pleasant smells and sights and sounds.
And then I make a little cup with enough and stuff in the mixture. Like this. See, honey?
Bay, thyme, onion, clove, mustard, allspice, pepper.
Ain't no one make baked ham like my Queenie.
Uh-huh.
Watch out for Queenie's knife now, Cat.
You come to me, Cat. I love Queenie's baked ham.
Then another little cut and more stuffing and another.
Sing a song for me, please, Joe. I'll get the banjo. Here it is.
Over Jordan, deep.
Have you practiced today? I didn't hear you.
I did. Joe, didn't you hear me practicing this morning?
I sure did, Miss Magnolia.
You go to that piano, young lady, and practice some more.
Yes, Mama.
Oh, I declare, I don't know where you get your low ways from. White people aren't good enough for you, I suppose. You gotta run with blacks in the kitchen. Now, you sit yourself down on that stool.
Yes, Mama.
Magnolia was given music lessons from Schultze. Despite my grandmother's plans, my mother unwittingly learned more of real music from Black Joe and many another Negro waif minstrel than she did from the unlyrical actor.
The Parthenia could introduce into showboat life anything as humdrum as five-finger exercises. Proof of her indomitable force, I guess.
Well observed, Mr. Mosen. Only Julie and Windy, the Molly Able pilot, ever defied her. And Andy, sometimes. Julie's was a negative victory in that she never voluntarily spoke to Parthy, which riled Parthy even more.
I declare, Hawks, what you keep that slatternly yellow cat Julie Dozier around this boat for beats me.
Best actress in the whole caboodle, that's why. That girl had the right backing, she'd make her mark, and not in any old showboat either. I've been to New York. I've seen them down at Wallach's and Daly's and around.
Oh, a slut, that's what she is. Had my way, she'd leave this boat bag and baggage.
This is one time you won't have your way, Parthenia, ma'am.
Oh, mark my words, you'll live to regret it. The way she looks out of those black eyes of hers, it gives me the creeps.
What would you have the girl look out of? Her ears?
The day the Cotton Blossom was due to play Lemoyne, Mississippi, Julie took sick.
Come in. How are you, Julie? Think you can play tonight?
No, I can't play tonight. Don't ask me.
But you got hours till curtain rises. God almighty, Julie, if you're as sick as all that, you'd better see a doctor.
Well, Julie's funny that way, Ralph. She's set against doctors.
But I was thinking.
Funny thing. I guess you have an admirer in this town, Julie. Somebody stole your picture, framing all out of the layout in the lobby. I put another one up.
I'm going into town, Julie. Can I fetch you something? An orange, maybe, or something from the drugstore?
She says no, thanks.
So long as you're all right by tonight.
Say she won't be.
Won't be? Hey, Cap!
Hey, best advance here we had since we started out. We've never played this town before. License was too high, but here it is. Not 11 o'clock and half the house gone already. Why, Julie, that's... Hey, so suppose you folks clear out and let me and Julie and Steve here talk things over quiet. Scat!
Playing Xenia tomorrow. Probably won't be able to open then neither if you're sick as all that.
I'll be able to play tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll be all right.
What? How do you know?
She'll be all right as soon as she gets out of this town.
Oh, that's the funny thing.
What, Mrs. Hawks? What's funny?
Julie took sick at this very town of Lemoyne time we came down the river last year. Hawks, as soon as you decided the license was too high, she got well all of a sudden. Just like that.
Well, nothing so funny about that. The hot, sticky climate down here is liable to get anybody to feel queer.
Well, I may not know much.
Mama, Julie's picture has been stolen again right out of the lobby. Julie, they've taken your picture again after Schultze put another one in. Oh, Julie, I'm so sorry you're sick.
Parthy, you get down to tend that ticket window. If we can't have a show tonight, we gotta leave them know. Schultze, you write out a sign and get it pasted up at the post office and...
Abbott?
Wendy, what is it?
Seems that skunk Pete's up to something. Skinned out, streaking toward the town like possessed. He yanked that picture of Julie out the Hollist, huh?
I'll kill him!
Hold on, son!
Hey, seen you take that first picture out, Steve.
What? Steve did?
I never did. I never did.
And what would he want to steal his own wife's picture for?
So nobody in this town would see it, Julie. I just stepped down from the Texas to warn you. I see Pete coming along the levee with Ike Keener. Ike's the sheriff. He'll be in here now any minute.
Let him. Our license is paid.
Anyone in there?
Someone in the lobby.
Oh, God, Steve.
Don't worry, Donald. I'll look after you.
Oh, Lord, he's got a knife.
What are you going to do with that thing?
Yeah, you give it out. Get off. I'm not going to hurt you, fool. I know what I'm doing.
He's in the auditorium.
Julie.
Hello?
Darling.
Anyone there?
It won't hurt much now. Now, give me your hand.
What's he going to do?
He's placed her finger. Why?
Julie, no.
Look, Julie, I'm going to suck the blood. You understand? I'm going to suck the blood.
Yes, Steve.
Mama, why is he sucking me?
Shush, child.
Yes, Mama.
There. It's done. You lie down, my darling.
Who's the captain in this here boat?
I am. What's wanted with him?
Hawks is my name, Captain Andy Hawks, 20 years on the rivers.
Well, Cap, kind of unpleasant, but I understand there's a miscegenation case on board.
What? What's that? What does he mean?
Hush!
How's that?
Miscegenation. Case of a Negro woman married to a white man. Criminal offense in this state.
No such thing on this boat.
Name of the Negress. Name of the Negress. Julie Dozier. Oh. Which one's them?
There! That's
Ellie,
Julie!
Ellie, shut up!
I'm Steve Baker. Julie's my wife.
You two better dress and come along with me.
Well, you wouldn't call a man a white man's got Negro blood in him now, would you?
No, I wouldn't. Not in Mississippi. One drop of Negro blood makes you a Negro in these parts.
Yeah, well, I got more than a drop of Negro blood in me, and that's a fact. You can't make miscegenation out of that.
You ready to swear that in a court of law?
I'll swear it now. I'll do more than that. Look at all these folks here. There ain't one of them but can swear I got Negro blood in me this minute. That's how white I am.
Well, I seen fair men than you that was Negroes. Still, you better come along.
Yes, you know me, Ike, better part of 25 years. I was keelboating time you was running around a barefoot on the landing. Now, I'm telling you, me, Windy McCalin, that white man's got Negro blood in him. I take my oath on that.
Well, if it was anybody else but Windy. But I got this straight from somebody I ought to know.
From a sooty-faced scab of a bull-drumming engineer named Pete. Yeah. And why? Because he's been stuck on Julie here I don't know how long, and she wouldn't have anything to do with him.
Is that right?
Yes, it is. He was after my wife.
He says, this Pete, that you was born here in Lemoyne, and that your pop was white and your mammy black. Is that right?
Yes. That's right.
The sheriff, Ike Keener, told Andy he better not try to give his show in the town that night as there were some public-spirited folk in Lemoyne and the fix they were in had already leaked around.
Cap, take us down as far as Xenia, will you? For God's sakes, don't make us get off here.
Down as far as Xenia you go. And anybody in this company don't like it, they're free to get. Bag and baggage. We'll pull out of here now. Xenia by afternoon at 4, latest. And you and Julie want to stay the night on board, you're welcome. I'm the master of this boat, by God.
But Julie and Steve left when the Cotton Blossom docked at Xenia late afternoon.
How you fix for money?
We're fixed all right.
Yeah, we've been saving.
You took good care of us on the Cotton Blossom, Captain Hawks. I was hoping to say goodbye to...
You know how Parthenia is. She don't mean no harm, but she didn't let on to Meg know you just what time you were going. She don't mean no harm.
I understand. Goodbye, Captain Hawks.
Goodbye, Cap. I appreciate your kindness. You get the little bag, Julie. I got the big ones.
Good luck to you both.
Thanks, Cap.
Julie, wait!
Magnolia, you come back here. Gotcha.
Let me go, Mama.
Magnolia, stop your struggling or I will... Magnolia, you hit me.
Julie, wait for me. I didn't say goodbye. Wait. Magnolia, Julie, I'm coming. Wait, please.
I should see the day when my own child slapped me. All of a sudden, she heard that woman's voice, low as it was, and makes out the door, raised her hand against her own mother.
Good for her.
What to say, Andy Hawks?
Oh, Magnolia. Julie, I don't want you to go.
I have to.
Oh, Miss Ravenel, poor Julie.
Yes, poor Julie. So, have you had enough of my mother's adventures?
I still have some pencils left.
Magnolia at 15 was a gangling, gawky child whose eyes were too big for her face and whose legs were too long for her skirts.
I declare, Magnolia, I only let down this hem a month ago. Now it's already too short.
Mama, I can't help it if I'm growing, can I?
Then suddenly at 16, everything assumed their natural proportions. Overnight, seemingly, she emerged from adolescence a rather amazing-looking creature.
Still is, from what I've seen in the papers.
Oh, she'll be pleased to hear that. Oh, it was inevitable that Magnolia should, sooner or later, find herself treading the boards as an actress in the Cotton Blossom Floating Palace Theater Company.
I knew it.
Brought about by Ellie's defection when she deserted Schultze for a gambler from Mobile.
Cap,
She's gone.
What? Who's gone?
Ellie, she's gone. Left the showboat. Says so in a snow.
Oh, my goodness, my ingenue.
Look, says here she's left me, and I shouldn't try to follow or find her or bring her back. She's going to start the head of her own company and play Camille or Juliet.
Juliet, does she even know that Shakespeare?
It's that black mustache gambler. He's been following the Cotton Blossom since we played Metropolis. He's promised her bookings through Iowa, Illinois, Missouri, Kansas, and might even get to New York.
New York.
She's got it into her head that she's burnt out or something. Well, she'll come back.
Do you mean to say you would take her back?
Why, sure. She never packed a trunk in her life or anything. I've done all those things for her. Guess that's how she kept me so tight. She needed me all the time. She'll come back.
Captain Andy sent to Chicago for a new ingenue lead. It was then, pending her arrival, that Magnolia stepped into the breach, or tried.
Over my dead body.
Now, Parthy.
No, my own daughter, an actress. Why I ever let her set foot on this filthy scow.
But listen, Parthy. The boys paraded a banner in town announcing the appearance extraordinaire of Magnolia, the mysterious comedy tragedienne in The Parson's Bride. We got the biggest advance sale we had this season.
Advance? How big is it?
300, and not anywhere near 4 o'clock.
I'll go help Magnolia with her lines.
Showboat companies to this day still tell the story of what happened during Magnolia's first performance on the Cotton Blossom.
But think, with the news of your husband's death, that worthless scoundrel who deserted you those years ago, you are finally free to marry the Parson.
Yes. It is time to lock up this little schoolhouse where I teach and move on with my life. For tomorrow, I will be wed.
Oh. Here is the key.
Oh, thank you, friend. But who is this in the doorway? Oh, my God! You! My husband!
Oh, I reckon you thought I was dead. Give me $1,000 and you don't walk down the aisle with anyone.
Let go of me. I haven't got it.
We'll see about that.
Schultzy, look at the apple box. That man has a gun.
Sir, I'm asking you to unhand that little lady.
But my friend, you don't understand. It's only a play. We're only play acting, pretending to be...
Sir, I still got 4 bullets left, and I ain't asking again.
Oh, God, Schultzy, he's got you in his sights.
Well, Mary, I ain't got nothing more to say if you and the Parson want to get married. Forget the $1,000. Keep it. I reckon I'll be going now, if you'll excuse me.
Close the curtain! Play! Say something quick!
The new ingenue lead, scheduled to meet the Cotton Blossom at Natchez, failed to appear. Magnolia, following her trial by firearms, became a fixture in the company. She loved the life, worked hard, cherished the admiration and applause. It was all going so well.
That's it, fellas. Come aboard. What you got there?
Flour, cornmeal, sugar, and salt, y'all, Captain.
Excellent. Kitchen's that way. Huh? Ask for Queenie.
Yes, sir.
It was all going so well until New Orleans, where they picked up the mail.
Cap! Here, these letters for you.
Thanks, Schultzy.
There's this one waiting for me. I opened them. I gotta go, Cap. She needs me.
Go? Go where? What do you mean, she?
Ellie. She's in a hospital in Little Rock. Says she's had an operation. He's left her, skunk. She ain't got a cent.
Oh, I'll take my oath on that.
You can't go and leave me flat now, Schultzy.
I bet there's a dozen better actors than me laying around the dock this minute. I got to talking to a fellow down on the wharf. Said I was an actor on a Cotton Blossom, and he said he'd acted himself, and that was a life he'd like.
Oh, well, what does he think this is, a bumboat? Plenty of wharf rats in New Orleans, and like nothing better than come up
there. There he is, leaning on a packing case.
Fellow with his shirt sleeves rolled?
No, big packing case to the right. Smart fellow with a cane. I'd go ashore and talk to him if I was you.
Him? Well, I couldn't go up and talk to him about acting on no showboat.
He's a gentleman.
Oh, well, he may be a gentleman, but nobody feels a gentleman with a crack in his shoe, and he has got one. I can't say I like the looks of him especially, but with you, Schultze, playing us this dirty trick...
Hey, that's not...
Well, that is what it amounts to, and there is no use trying to prettify it. We can't be choosers.
Gaylord Ravenel had not meant to find himself in New Orleans.
Gaylord Ravenel?
Of the Tennessee Ravenels, so he said. Having boarded the Lady Lee in St. Louis, he had planned, following a game of stud poker, to go ashore at Memphis, with his finances raised to the high level of his hopes.
Your father was a gambler.
His sole possession, beside the little slim Malacca cane, was a clear blue-white diamond ring which he never wore. A relic of luckier days, before his broadcloth had become shiny, his linen frayed, his boots split. In the trip that lasted unexpectedly from St. Louis to New Orleans, he won and lost that ring 6 times.
6 times?
And he was richer by exactly nothing at all.
Am I to understand I am being offered the position of a juvenile lead on the Cotton Blossom Floating Palace?
That's the size of it, Mr. Ravenel. 15 a week and found.
That woman up there on the boat.
My wife, Porthenia.
Mm. Oh, when that other one coming out? Is she a member of your company?
Her? That's my daughter, Magnolia.
Magnolia. Magnolia.
I should smile, she is. Huh. She's our ingenue lead, Magnolia is. Plays opposite the juvenile lead.
Opposite the juvenile lead?
You a quick study? Because we leave New Orleans tonight.
Lightning study.
For a month they played the bayous and plantations of Louisiana, leaving behind them a whole countryside whose planters, villagers, and Negroes had been startled out of their sudden lethargy. These had known showboats and showboat performances all their lives.
You think you can deceive me, Madam Vine?
But I...
How can you even contemplate such a thought that I, Archibald Carlyle, would fail to recognize the woman he loves, has always loved? Oh. My Isabel!
Oh, Archibald, can you forgive my foolishness, my errant ways?
But they were quite unprepared for the entertainment given them by the two handsome, passionate, and dramatic young people.
Oh, you are unwell. You have a fever. Your brow is burning.
It is true, my darling. I am not as I should wish to be at this joyous reunion.
Who were now cast as ingenue and juvenile lead of the Cotton Blossom Floating Palace Theater Company. But not everyone approved.
Shifty, that's what he is. Mark my words.
Best juvenile lead ever played the rivers, Porthenia.
He looks at Magnolia, I tell you.
Fool if he didn't.
All right, keep him in the show. But who warned you about that yellow-skinned Julie? If sheriffs is what you want, I'll wager you could get them fast enough if you spoke his name in certain parts of the country. You wait till we get back to New Orleans. I intend to do some asking around.
And I'll bet your grandmother did.
When next in New Orleans, Parthenia was off that showboat as fast as she could get.
725. Oh,
it's almost 4 and you haven't even changed your clothes. You keep counting that old money, and Mama's gone ashore in some horrid business. I know it's horrid because she looks so pleased.
Minute, can't leave this money laying around like buttons, can
Oh,
I?
You promised you'd get a carriage and horses. Oh, I'm just crazy about horses. And we drive out to Lake Pontchartrain and have dinner.
Oh, my, don't you look dandy.
Oh, how beautiful you look.
What? Who?
And you, Miss Magnolia. I kiss your hand.
Well, that's something you get up you're wearing, Ravenel. God almighty, you ain't leaving us.
Oh, these are my ordinary clothes, Captain Hawk, sir. When first we met, I was in temporary difficulties. I have an excellent tailor down off Magazine Street.
Thought you'd come to give me notice.
Actually, I was thinking of leaving at Natchez.
No!
Stick with us and I'll raise you 20, 25, 30.
Oh, let's not talk money now, Captain. Though, if you would care to advance me 50...
Here!
Well, thanks. I was gonna say, I came to ask if you and Mrs. Hawks and Miss Magnolia here would do me the honor to dine with me ashore this evening and then go to the theater.
Oh, Papa!
But Magnolia, I gotta get this money to the...
Captain Hawks, I have a plan which I have just thought of. Miss Magnolia has her heart set on this little holiday.
Oh.
Now, I know where I can get a splendid turnout chestnuts. Very high steppers, but quite safe. I know Miss Magnolia loves horses.
Oh.
If we start immediately, we can enjoy quite a drive, Miss Magnolia and I, and return in time to meet you and Mrs. Hawks and say, Antoine's for dinner.
Oh, Papa, please.
But your ma...
But it was no use. Magnolia got her way. So did Gaylord.
Oh, faster, Gaylord! Make them go faster!
Ha! Ha!
Magnolia!
Ha!
And Andy continued counting his money.
No! On Canal
Gosh
Street.
Gosh almighty.
On Canal Street, the two of them with my own eyes in a carriage together. Magnolia and that Oh, Hawks. He's a murderer.
Who are you talking about? Who's a murderer?
Gaylord Ravenel is a murderer. He's a murderer. And our daughter Magnolia, is out driving with him.
Miss Ravenel, you're telling me your father was a murderer.
The truth is, Mr. Mawson. Excuse me. Hello? Come in.
Hello, Miss Ravenel. Sorry to bother you.
Yes, Larry?
Telegram. It's signed for.
Thank you.
No trouble. See you tomorrow.
Oh, yes. Yeah. See you tomorrow, Larry. I hope you don't mind if I...
Oh, do. Please open it.
Oh, my.
Not bad news, I hope.
In part one of Showboat, written by Edna Ferber and dramatised by Moya O'Shea, Kim was played by Lisette Anthony, Magnolia, Samantha Spiro, Parthy, Laurel Lefko, Andy, Morgan Deer, and young Magnolia, Shahrazad Matthews. Gaylord was played by Ryan McCluskey, Julie, Samantha Dakin, Steve, Henry DeVas, Joe, Nonso Anosi, Queenie, Tracy Ifachor, Ellie, Leah Brotherhead, and Schulze, Judah Kudike. Sophie was played by Joanna Munro. Windy, Sean Baker. Pete, Mark Cavan. And Mr. Mawson, Ian Batchelor. The music was by Neil Brand, and the banjo player was Mike Hammond. The director is Tracy Neal.
Hardeep Singh Kohli surveys the nation.
You know, the census is happening this year, so we're trying to do our version of the census.
A journey that takes him across the UK.
When was your first kiss? Can you remember?
The 6th of July, 2003.
Hardeep Singh Kohli's alternative census begins on BBC Radio 4 this Friday morning at 11:00.